A sound, especially one that is loud or unpleasant that causes a disturbance. Irregular fluctuations that accompany a transmitted electrical signal but are not part of it and tend to obscure it. To talk about or make known publicly, or make much noise. Those are all definitions of noise. We don't want them here because we are cancelling noise on this, the Noise Cancelling Podcast. And I wish there was a better intro sound that happens right there, because it'd be like, whoa, bum, 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 bum. Hello, everyone. Let's see who's on the Noise Podcast this week, which is talking all about tech and things to do with tech. Cherie, hello. You're here again. That's lovely to know.
Yes, I'm Sherelle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm James Peckham, phones editor for TechRadar.
I'm Matt Phillips, video producer at TechRadar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, formerly phones editor at TechRadar and now editor-in-chief. I felt like the nostalgia there. I wanted to just hark back to an older day.
Yeah, it was nice.
Also I find it strange when Matt's on the podcast, not because he's not an excellent guest, because he is, and you're about to go for an absolute rollercoaster ride of emotions with him. But when he's the producer in the background, but then sort of comes on to the recording, it sort of feels like, well, the lines get blurred. I feel like my walls start crashing in, but ultimately it's nice to see.
Thanks for having me again, I appreciate it.
So this week we're trying a new feature that, I'll be honest, I have it's an homage to other podcasts that I've heard do the same thing and I've really enjoyed. It's called The Big Question. So this is based on the fact that once again we're hearing more about smart toilets. This is from a piece in the Stanford website, and it's essentially talking about the fact that they want to make a prototype of a toilet that could do more than just, you know, analyze your poo and stuff, which has happened in Japan for a while, but can just really give you that kind of like how your smartwatch can tell you if your heartbeat's gone too irregularly. It can just really analyze your poo and your wee and, you know, your poop and your pee in America, and find out exactly what's in it, let you know if something's going wrong. Just, you know, just keep an eye on what's coming out. And based on that, first of all, a great topic anyway, I want to ask the team, if you could make anything else smart, what would it be? James McPeck, let's start with you.
I want my fridge to be properly smart. I really want a proper smart fridge.
I'll tell you what I hope for. I hope there wouldn't be people saying things that are already smart, because that's just really annoying. But carry on. Where are you going to go with it?
My fridge isn't smart, so yeah, that not entirely your counts for this question.
But smart fridges exist. Like, it's not like you couldn't go and buy one.
Okay, right. So I've really got to bring this back now. I just really want to know when my food's about to go off. It's essentially what it is. I really... that just feels like something that is like would be an absolutely groundbreaking feature in smart fridges and actually make them a worthwhile thing. I don't really care about the whole idea of like just coming up with recipes and that kind of element within your fridge, but just knowing if I've got a load of carrots in my fridge, for example, that are right at the back and they're about to go off, I should eat these. I don't know why I chose carrots.
Or loads of carrots that have got accidentally pushed right to the back and have hit the back of the fridge and started to freeze.
Yeah.
Shit, my carrots.
I just went through the torturous task of cleaning out my refrigerator this weekend, and I found a whole bag of Brussels sprouts, and I love Brussels sprouts, and they were way back in the nethers of Narnia of this refrigerator, and they were no longer good, and I was kind of upset about it. So if I could get a notification like, hey, maybe you should cook these or freeze them or something, but they've been here, they're about to just hit that point of no return, that would be awesome.
I think what would be amazing is if you could have something that would test, say, when it's actually going off, not like best before and stuff, but then you go into this whole world of like, someone needs something that should be okay and isn't, and they die. You know, it's not really the greatest look for a fridge manufacturer. But I think the fact that, Cherie, when you said you found a bag of Brussels sprouts, I knew the end of that story wasn't going to be, and they were fine. When you find something in your fridge.
They were not fine. They were at that point where I was thinking like, could I? And a younger me, because my nickname for myself is the stomach of blight, because there are things that in my college years I've just eaten that were not, like, maybe they were a couple of days past the expiration date. I'm alive, I survived, but c'est la vie.
So what would you make smart, Cherie?
At first I thought I wanted a smart toaster, but when I thought about it,
that exists,
but when I thought about it, I would like a smart pot. So when I'm doing pasta...
You mean like an instant pot?
No.
Okay, fine. Good. Okay.
A pot like for pastas and things that have like if I'm making fresh pasta, or if I'm boiling pasta, so I can always get it to that al dente. It'll time it. It'll let me know like, all right, it, like, you put in the type of pasta it is, how much of it there is, and it like keeps a track for you and lets you go like make sure that you always get that perfect al dente.
Okay, I can see it. I feel like that's something that could happen in the next year, which is nice. So, you know, let's be at CES next year and just ask that big question to every appliance manufacturer. Where is it coming? Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I was worried about this question initially because I was worried that my answer was too boring or not good enough. And then I've heard these guys' answers and I'm here to win it. I've decided I want a smart shower. I want a smart shower. I love having a shower. I want to have longer showers.
It exists.
They don't exist.
Oh my God.
Show me.
You can control the temperature of your shower from afar. That's not a
smart shower. That's not what I'm after at all. I want.
See, Gareth? You wait for the idea.
I want a pane of glass on my shower that is a full touchscreen with Netflix and YouTube, and I can do my email while I'm taking a shower.
How long are your showers?
I want them to be longer. This is the point. I want them to be longer.
Are you going to watch The Irishman while you're showering?
100%. I'm all for that.
No, so I'm just looking at, I just Googled smart shower, and the first thing was a guide to choosing digital showers and smart showers. Like, just how much there is. Okay, admittedly, a smart shower pane is different, and that's kind of Black Mirror style level. But yeah, I'm with Pexy. Like, how long are you spending in the shower to the point, you know, that's just water waste. You know, just don't be getting wet while you're doing these things. Just get your emails done afterwards.
And now I'm thinking about it as well. It would be more efficient to just have a bath and just have an iPad with me or something.
Or just have a waterproof tablet. There's a Sony used to do a waterproof tablet back in the day. Just get one of those and have it all there.
What if you did the bath idea and you had a waterproof projector come down?
Yeah, I love it. But again, it's not a smart bath, is it? It's just an accessory in my bathroom.
And also, like, how could you, you know, if you get an email, you can't just say open email with your finger because it would just get wet.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a thing.
It turns out that this was a more difficult topic than we thought.
No, I stand by my smart pot. Like, I think a lot of pasta makers and a lot of folks, like, it could essentially be a sous vide without the sous vide.
True, that is true.
I stand by it.
My idea was, so last year at CES, there were lots of smart beds, like lots of them. And they were the thing that you get on them and they got like temperature controls in different zones and they adjust your comfort and stuff. And I was like, you know what? This is a genius idea. And especially after the fourth day, we were so tired, like jet lag to the absolute extreme. I just got on it. I was like, I'm just going to lie here for a bit. And it was delicious. But I actually thought, you know what? It's not so much the bed that matters to me. It's the pillow. I'm like, why can't I have a smart pillow that does the same adaptation? So it's just like, it knows what I like, you know, I'm rolling around, it stays fluffed all night long. And I just, if our head's happy, I feel like the rest of our body's fine. So I think smart pillows.
A constant cold side of the pillow.
Yes.
Oh.
That should be it.
Yeah.
Well, but if you do that, I would also want it to adjust. So when I flip, I would kind of want it to have some, like a massage pillow and have those things that'll raise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'd be down for that.
I just Googled smart pillow, Gareth. What do you reckon came up?
Yeah. Of course they exist. I've seen pillows that you can buy for long distance relationships so it lights up when your partner is sleeping so you know that you're... It's very strange.
Wait, what
smart pillows exist?
No. Why are you Googling that? So you can see when your partner's asleep?
Yeah, I was in a long distance relationship for a while, and I think Instagram and Facebook were listening and just advertising all sorts of crazy long distance stuff to me.
That was the creepiest shit I heard. Like, oh my God. Like, all I can hear is the police in my bed now. Like, oh God.
Yeah, there are smart pillows. That's really annoying. I've really just shit on my own point. You know what? I was so confident I didn't even check. That's how bad it was. I'm like, there's buying guides, there's everything on these, but and in fact, some of them do the things I just talked about. Okay, I was going to award myself the points because it was such a good idea, but I'm not going to get it. So I feel like I'm going for Cherie because she just, you know, it makes the most sense. So Cherie, you win the first points of this inaugural contest.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Boo.
Matt, you can't be upset.
I'm fuming.
Like, you got confused over what you're actually talking about anyway. You're like, is it a bath? Is it a shower? Do I watch Netflix? Am I having a big shower pain? You know.
I thought this was like a big brainstorming thing. We're going to go on to make these products this time next year. We'll be millionaires.
Yeah, well, true. I mean, if they do come out right now, I would say we could take the credit, but literally all of them are products already, so not a thing we can do. Cherie, before we get into the news this week, your big news, you told us in the build-up, this standing desk.
Yes, so I am taking the first brave step into building out Laptop Mag's best standing desk page. I started with, from what I'm reading, is one of the best in the business Foley's Jarvis standing desk. So it's electronic standing desk. It has a electronic motor with a like you hit the button, you can preset it to your preferred height. You hit the button, it raises, it lowers. I timed myself. It took me about 58 minutes to put everything together from beginning to end. That includes all the accessories that I got with it. So the switching out power grommets, putting on cable management, putting on a couple of other fancy doodads. Very easy to put together. Lovely bamboo desktop. And it's 70 inches. I want to say it's 70 inches. If I'm recalling off the top of my head, it's massive. And I cannot say enough good things about it. I'm so excited to write this review up. Stay tuned for it. Like, I highly recommend people get into the standing desk life, especially if they're electronic, because no one wants to be, who wants to be sitting there cranking and cranking? Like, all right, like we're in 2020. No one should be cranking desks like they're churning butter.
Wait, when you first said 58 minutes, I thought you were going to say it only took 58 minutes to raise. I was like, that is a slow desk.
No, 58 minutes to build.
that doesn't sound easy to me. An hour to build anything feels like quite complicated.
It was a one-man team, so I did it by myself. If I had someone else, it would have been quicker.
Physical facts about all things, but carry on. Yeah.
Like, it really wasn't. Like, it was just putting a lot of screws in. Like, they basically give you everything you need except for a Phillips screwdriver, and I did break out the power drill at one point. But, it was a fairly easy build.
And that's the thing, mate. I knew you were going to do it, and I was like, oh, cool, let's hear about this, and now I really want one. So, although I couldn't fit it anywhere, even though when you say 70 inches, I was like, that's not that big. But when it's because you said inch, and I'm like, well, I don't know how big that is.
Yeah, like, like, they make smaller ones, but I just, like, I had the room. I'm like, in addition to the review and the best page, I'm also working on a ultimate work from home station / gaming battle station. So, like, I'm going to have, like, monitors and bells and whistles and Nano Leaf stuff. It's going to be nuts.
But while we're talking about things that you're looking into, Cherie, the big news this week is obviously that the PlayStation gaming event is back on. It's happening. Well, it will have happened again because that Sony doesn't care about when we publish this podcast at all.
Not at all.
So this will have happened by this
very
point.
Very considerate.
So what we can do now is we can give our listeners the chance to understand what we think is going to be and laugh at how wrong we are.
Yes. So before you got on, we were talking about God of War 5. Supposedly, it's going to show up. And if that shows up, it's over. Like, game over, man. Like, I was already going to buy a PS5, but, like, typically how I do my game console purchases, I'll buy one and then I'll buy another mid-cycle. I might buy two out the cycle. Just off the strength. Like, put one downstairs, put one upstairs, so I could just walk through my house unbothered. Like, okay, you need the top TV. All right, I'm gonna go downstairs into my lair. You will never see me again. It's fine.
If they do announce that, that's not gonna be a day one game, right? You can't have God of War 2 out on day one, can you? That would be an absolute system seller if it did happen. But
man, listen, if they do something like that, it's like PlayStation can single-handedly save the economy if they pull something off like that.
There's no way. There's no way that's happening. Don't get people's hopes up. It's not coming day one. There's just no way. It's not had long enough.
Why is God of War such a big deal? Why is God of War such an exciting prospect for everybody?
The last God of War game reinvented the franchise and is probably the best game on PS4. Although, when we're talking about this as well, on Friday when the podcast releases, Last of Us Part 2 reviews will be out. And everything, yes, I've just said might now be false.
I'm hearing from my reviewer that, like, number one, my reviewer, Rami Tabari, he plays everything on hard out the box. So he has been playing Last of Us 2 on hard out the box, getting his arse kicked and loving every minute of it. So I cannot wait for this review proper. Cannot wait. If I can't have God of War 5 out the box, for the love of God, give me Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I've been waiting.
I think that's much more likely, isn't it?
I've been waiting so long to get back into that world. I love Aloy. It was a beautiful game to play, look at, and the story was compelling. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And I, again, good to go. If they say, if I hear Aloy, good to go. Right with it.
Yeah, I totally agree with James. I think that's more likely. But again, don't get your hopes up, because I don't think it's going to happen. Like, these console launches typically don't have a massive amount of software come out with them at launch, like especially exclusive PlayStation 5 exclusive software. Stuff will be cross generation, so stuff will come to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 at the same time, but these big hitters I don't think you're getting for a while yet.
Yes, I know, but if they could get one, if I could get one, and it can't be God of War, give me Horizon Zero Dawn. Let me go back and start hunting down robotic dinosaurs again. Give that to me.
It's the most video game thing ever.
Someone in the TechRadar team described this as the gaming event of the summer, possibly. Do we think it's going to live up to that hype, or is it worth being top of this build today? Apart from, obviously, the standing desk.
You know, we're so starved for any good news that I think we're putting a lot of hype on this. We still don't know if we're actually going to see this console yet. Like, I'm seeing a lot of conflicting reports like, yeah, we're finally going to see it, and others like, no, we're not going to see it until July. So we don't even know what we're getting. I know, like, judging off of PlayStation's like E3 pass, PlayStation loves a lot of pomp and circumstance, so I'm hoping for something big and splashy, but we've never seen them do a digital event like this, so everything's up in the air.
I mean, in terms of good news and things we're waiting for, even the iPhone, something that we could usually set our clocks by, looks like it might be delayed this year. Hexy, I know obviously that you've been tracking this very efficiently as phones editor, or if you haven't, we're going to have words. What's the news?
Possibly the best source yet, in terms of the most accurate source yet, is saying that the iPhone 12 will be delayed. It's all a little bit unclear at the moment. The actual source is from Broadcom, who is they're a supplier of wireless components for the iPhone. They've essentially said that some upcoming products will be delayed in some capacity. They've not name-checked the iPhone, but it's very much hinting at that, and Apple is one of their main sources that they're supplying. So it does seem like we're going to get some sort of delay. Personally, they don't specify either what sort of delay we're going to get there either. Personally, I feel like we will still see it in September, but we may be in a slightly weird situation where the phone doesn't come out 10 days later like it normally does with Apple products. I think we're probably going to be, maybe we will see one phone come out, but considering we're expecting four this year, it may be that we see them scattered throughout the rest of the year and maybe even into early 2021.
One of the things that I saw on TechRadar, the site that I'm supposed to be in charge of.
You are in charge of.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah. What's everyone doing today? Cool. Sounds good. Off we go. No, but in terms of one of the things that I thought we did well at the weekend was what is LiDAR, which sounds quite dull, and obviously the LiDAR sensor being on the back of the iPad Pro. Sorry, but my headphones just did a sound like we're about to die, which is really good news. But the iPad Pro obviously has LiDAR, and we were expecting that to come to the iPhone. Like the iPad Pro was doing it as a precursor, but then obviously new designs have possibly leaked out where it doesn't happen. I mean, do we need a LiDAR sensor? Is that something that's actually going to be enough to say the new iPhone 12 or whatever we call it is a worthwhile upgrade?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an absolute seller, and it's not going to be the reason you have to buy it. Obviously, people will be buying the new iPhone because it's the new iPhone, but that will be a nice little additional upgrade to it. So far, it looks like that would just be a feature on the iPhone 12 Pro and the Pro Max, though, not the two cheaper versions, the equivalent of the iPhone 11.
But do you think that kind of depth sensing, the chance to be able to see the world around, you know, and it's not, iPhone is by far not the first to do this, it's the time of flight sensors, for the want of the sexy word, is there, and it's been on phones in the past, but you know, can Apple do that thing where it makes it sound like it's the first one to do it and everyone gets really excited and it becomes a thing or not?
Possibly. It's like, people are interested in AR, they just don't really realize they're interested in AR. You see a lot of people get excited about like Instagram filters and that kind of stuff where it puts things over your face. And yeah, I actually had a point, Gareth, don't worry.
I thought you were like AR deniers or something.
Like, no one goes, I want to have better AR on my phone. They go, oh, I've got this really cool Instagram filter that I'm playing around with, and I do that all the time. I think, yeah, from that perspective, I think it will be a useful feature in that way. But again, it's not something on the selfie camera where that kind of stuff comes into use. Apple will be pushing it as you've got all these different apps, these different games you can use it with. There's going to need to be some kind of software there that really shows it off. That, like, they've even had Minecraft in the past, and it's been a bit like, Okay, not incredible.
But I think it's one of those things, I always called those the kind of the push things that are inside the phone. Like you're having a FaceTime chat with somebody and you've got that, you know, the depth sensing front facing camera, and you turn on like the stupid poo emoji and like talk like a poo. And, you know, someone who hasn't got it and can't do it, like, oh, I want to do that. And they can't. And it doesn't make them go, I'm going to go out and buy the new iPhone. But it does seed the idea that my phone is old, I need new. Like it's those little things that start to build to a crescendo of like, you know what, the battery's gone, I really want that, it's definitely time to buy a new phone. And it's smart little pushes from phone manufacturers that make people wish they had the same thing.
Definitely.
So I thought Matt looked like he was about to really set himself up for a big important point, but you think he was just scratching his face there. Sorry.
I was indeed just scratching my face.
I think like, yeah, I agree on one level, but ultimately societally it's a very different thing. But no, okay, fine. Cherie, I'm completely jumping here, but I haven't actually heard anything about this, but the name of it excites me. The Eternal Darkness Floor. What?
Yeah. Coming to you.
Should we just leave our listeners to like wonder what that could be for a bit and just get panicked, and then we can tell them?
I mean, I'm going to panic them anyway because it is yet another Windows 10 exploit. So basically, the Eternal Darkness exploit, you can get it through SMB, so file servers, printers, things like that. The internet, actually. And if a hacker, an ill-intentioned hacker, decides to exploit this patch, they can put all types of nasty ransomware and malware on your device. And what's even worse about this is that it's wormable, which means that it can spread to other devices. It's kind of like, it's kind of like digital clap. So the reason that this is so I was going to try to keep a straight face through this, but Pex just got me. But the reason this is so serious is because Windows 10 often botches things on the updates and people don't update regularly because Windows 10 botches. A lot of systems are unpatched. So there are a lot of vulnerable systems out there that could pick this up and not know until one day you get a cheeky message from some bastard like, hey, pay us this amount of money if you want to unlock your computer. So Microsoft, of course, is busy working on this. But for right now, just keep an eye on your systems. Now's not the time to start clicking on weird things or going to weird sites that you normally wouldn't go to, or maybe you do go to all the time. I'm not going to judge what you like and what you don't like, but like, it's called Eternal Darkness. It's a dramatic name. So our article starts dun dun dun, Eternal Darkness, what to do about it? Like, because why not?
Yeah. That's what made me feel like this wasn't going to be a big deal, because I'm like, you start with dun dun dun, that sounds fun, but no, it actually sounds quite important, and now people need to look after themselves.
yeah, I just wish that Microsoft will find a way to update with nothing going wrong, just once, because so many people their systems are
impossible.
It is impossible, and so many people's systems are like left vulnerable because they don't trust Microsoft updates.
Yeah, now I feel like everything's vulnerable and I can't trust anything. Thanks, Cherie. That makes me feel good. In other news, OnePlus Z looks like it's happening, but it's called Nord. Is that right, Pexy?
Yeah, so far that's what the leaks are looking like.
Nord.
Sorry, what?
Nord. I'm just saying the word Nord. And N-O-R-D, not like K-N-A-W-E-D.
Oh, like the VPN.
Yeah, like the VPN. Like, what? Come on. You've got to understand that's confusing.
Yeah, it is confusing. At the moment it looks like it's going to be Nord, which means north in a variety of European languages.
Yes, I got that bit, yeah, but still.
But I'm talking to the listeners here, Gareth, not just talking to you.
Oh, well, you sound like you're trying to educate me, because that's a good thing to do quite a lot of the time.
exactly why, we're not entirely clear, but it would be a strange thing for OnePlus to move away from its numbers and from its letters to just randomly have one device that's called the Nord, especially when OnePlus Z or OnePlus Z actually sounds like quite a good handset name, really. Like, it just works. It could be a slightly different series to the main numbered ones. It looks like we're going to hear about it at a India event in July. I think July 10th is the date that some of the rumors are saying at the moment. It still looks like it may be a worldwide release, but they're focusing on India as a market for the start of this.
I don't like it when the, you know, OnePlus moves away from anything that's, well, from a number, because the whole OnePlus One, that's a funny thing to say. You know, trying to explain to them, I've got the OnePlus One phone, they're like, oh, what? And then, you know, OnePlus Two, and then the brand gets better known. And I'm on board with X's and Z's because, you know, they're still algebra. You know, that's still the thing. But Nord, nah. I want to have OnePlus a thing that you can add to. That's important.
I don't understand why. We'll find out in July, hopefully.
Well, also happening in July, tell you what's not happening actually, is the launch of the new Matrix 4 film. I just wanted to bring this to the table because it's going to be seismic. I'm incredibly excited about this. And Keanu Reeves has recently said that the only reason he's doing it because the script is beautiful. So I feel like, I mean, I assume you guys are joining me in this like lack of sleep because of excitement about what this film is going to be like.
100%. Yeah.
I don't know what to think. Like, everybody died in the last one. So what are we doing now? Like,
there's two things there. I mean, first of all, after the Matrix 3, which obviously at the time I was quite resolute in defending, but as time's gone on, I can't really.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. The Reloaded was good, but Revolution's now. Sorry, it made me forget everything thinking about that film again. But the whole idea being, at the time they said like Neo's story has ended, we could pick up another one. And now that doesn't seem to be true. But apparently he's been spotted wearing sort of like flowing white robes and some kind of thing, but still jumping out of helicopters and stuff, so making it all very Matrixy.
So basically, we're still going with tech Jesus. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically it. Yeah. But I'm really excited. Everyone's back aboard. It's going to be, you know, Neil Patrick Harris is in there as well. Obviously, that's a key hire that I was looking for.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that. It's like, oh my god! I hope he's playing a villain.
Yeah, that'd be.
He
good.
Does great villains.
Have any of you watched How I Met Your Mother?
No.
Okay, fine. Well, that's ruined that one, hasn't it? Yeah, I was about to say, like, is he a villain in that one? Let's discuss. But yeah, Neil Patrick Harris is in The Matrix 4. Thank gosh, because I thought I just made that up completely. He's going to be there. I haven't got much to add to this other than I'm just really excited. I really love The Matrix. It's my favourite film.
Keanu Reeves is absolutely killing it. It's great
to
see. The
Keanu sauce.
He's in Cyberpunk. He's in this.
John Wick.
John Wick 3.
How has John Wick got more than one film?
It's incredible.
Like the first one was good, but then it's like how it's become like Fast and the Furious. It's like, why has this become like a worldwide mega franchise? You know, the first one was some people driving around stealing DVD players and now they're solving nuclear problems. It's like, how did this happen?
That would be a really good crossover, actually. John Wick and Fast and Furious. I'm all for that.
I'm more excited about Bill and Ted right now than I am about Matrix 4.
Fair play. I mean, that's okay.
Like, I am so excited to see what Bill and Ted have been up to. Like, they're supposed, like, according to the trailer, they have spent the last 20 some odd years trying to make this song that's supposed to save the world, and they have not made it yet. They've both got daughters. They've got a lot of the old cast back in their original roles. Cannot wait for this movie. I'm so excited for this 80s nostalgia.
On that note, I've just looked at how long we've been going for. This is a very long time. We need to move into the lab. So Cherie, take us there, please.
Going into the labs, time to talk some reviews. We're going to talk about laptops, tablets, and maybe some earbuds. I don't know. It's whatever we choose. Reviews.
Really well done on rhyming that in there. That is good. That is good work.
That was incredible. Incredible.
So come on, let's go to the Go. Surface Go 2, Cherie.
No, that's not me. I have never touched a Surface Go in my life.
I think that's me. Matt Hansen obviously reviewed it for us on Tech Radar. I interviewed him about his review. You can watch the full video of that on Tech Radar's YouTube channel if you want. Plug. But yeah, the Surface Go 2 is their new Windows new budget tablet. Comes in at like $350. And it runs Windows S, which I know Cherie is a massive fan of, I can tell. But you can activate Windows 10 on it if you want. But of course, that will cause it to run really slowly because it doesn't have much RAM or internal storage. So it's great. Kind of. Not really.
Said no one ever. Yeah, I just... You get what you pay for, folks. Just save a little bit more money and get like a Surface Pro 7 or something like that. Don't do this. Don't, not like this. Don't, please.
So, Cherie, why would someone not go for the Go? Well, you know, it's in our review, we found it was good. You know, it was affordable. It can run Windows 10, obviously, if you wanted to. Battery life is good. The design is great, you know, and it's more affordable. Like, what's wrong with that?
But you can't run any apps. Like, you can't run any Windows 10 store apps. Like, they basically are forcing you to put put full Windows 10 on there. And if that's the case, just put it on there from gate. Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, the Windows Store is still quite bare. That is a problem, of course. I mean, so you say the Surface Pro 7, that's a better option, right? Isn't that the same? Is that far more expensive?
Just save your money. Just I don't know. So
you're saying don't buy laptops. That's what you're trying to say right now, yeah? Laptop Mag's editor-in-chief is saying, just don't buy them. Just let go.
Like, I just want you to get good things, people. I want the best for you because I love you. And I like when I see you walking around with a clunker, and because like you, it's a matter of what, like, I get it. It's a matter of budget, but it's also a matter of investing, because I can't, it hurts my feelings when you buy cheap or old laptops because you have to save a couple of pennies, and then the next year you're asking me, well, my laptop broke or it's out of date already. What should I get? And it's a yearly thing. Like, it hurts. I don't want you to go through that.
I'm gonna bring you back to a point you hate again, and it's not tablets, it's Chromebooks. But I mean, is this not just like, you know, obviously if you're running really complex applications and, you know, hardware intensive stuff, this is gonna fail. But for general, so even with Windows 10 on, the Surface Go 2 isn't terrible for, like, you know, just the casual kind of things, and that makes it a good Chromebook rival with a lot of added extras around it, right? Shaking your head is not an audio feature, Shereen.
Like, I feel like you're just poking me just because. Like, I thought we were friends, but yet we're in this hell. Like, I guess my answer has to be anything other than a Chromebook. But oh, it hurt. I feel like I'm in this Faustian deal right now. Like, it's like, ugh.
So if you're there and I'm saying you've got to have the Surface Go 2, a Chromebook or an iPad Pro with keyboard, and that's all you can have, which one are you going for?
I get
tablets, Chromebooks, or Surface Go, like Therese's favorite things.
I'm so unhappy right now. Oh god, this
hypothetical has really got you.
Oh no.
iPad Pro. The answer's iPad Pro.
yeah, I guess it is.
But you can't eat for a month to make sure they offset the difference in price. So, downside. Right, I am very aware of time, so I'm going to whistle past upsetting Cherie anymore. James McPeckham, the Amazon Fire HD8. I sort of forget that Amazon does tablets, even though they're a big part of everything. But it's sort of, I feel like they were from another time, and yet they're still going and still doing pretty well, right?
They are, yeah. They're essentially just focused on price, really, is the main element here. So the Amazon Fire HD 8 is the latest tablet from them. They've also got an 8 Plus, which we're in the middle of reviewing at the moment, all focused on price. So you've got, this is under $100, I think it is $100, around £90. You've got Amazon's own software on top of here, so it's not going to be able to run as many apps as you would want from a lot of other tablets, but you're paying a lot less than you would for a lot of other products at this price. It's a very similar deal to what you've got from previous Amazon Fire models. There's a bit of extra storage on here. You've got 32 gigabytes instead of 16. That's the sort of specs we're talking about here. Cherie is again shaking her head. You've also got faster charging here as well. That's one of the other main upgrades. We gave it 3.5 stars. This is something that if you really need something cheap, you should be going for this. If you want something for your kids to just be watching Peppa Pig on or something like that, this is the perfect kind of option for that. And they've also got a kids edition version of this tablet as well. But this isn't going to be an iPad Pro rival. This isn't going to be even able to really combat a lot of like the top end Android tablets either.
And one of the things that Tom Bedford, the guy who reviewed that for us on Tech Radar, he made a really good point, one that I saw as a headline to start with and thought delve inwards. And the headline was, scroll back up to the top, Amazon Fire HD8 has one tiny feature I'd love to see in the new iPad Pros. And I was thinking, these two have got very different price points, what could that be? And it's a simple thing, putting the front-facing camera down the sort of the side of the device rather than at the top, so you use it in landscape rather than portrait. And I'm like, it's so annoying, you know, like you have to hold the iPad Pro to have a FaceTime conversation like a piece of paper, because otherwise, like Tom points out, like you're just constantly looking away and feeling like you're doing something else, and you're never sure if someone's actually paying attention. And it's like, I understand that, you know, you could argue that you use it both ways, but clearly the iPad Pro with the magic keyboard hinged stand, which is really good. It should just be in the middle. Like, it's such an obvious place for, or even if you're Apple, just put two on there, put one on each side, and it can work out which one to activate if we're talking really super, like, give you the tech that you want. But like, yeah, the idea of having that camera in the right place drives me mad. I don't understand why it's a thing. I can't even justify the point of it. Like, holding the iPad up like that when there's no stand that Apple offers to allow you to do that, just, yeah, it confuses me. I feel like I've got to an unpopular opinion, but it's just popular.
Yeah, it's something I've noticed throughout the pandemic as well, because I've been using my iPad to do a lot of video calls in that way. It's not always been the device I've gone for that in the past. So yeah, again, I'm always looking off to the side, and it just doesn't seem to suit as well, does it? Yeah, you're right. Why doesn't Apple just put two on there? If you're spending already, iPad Pro is like probably £900 or so at some of the price points. Why can't you have two?
And also, when you look to the side, I realise when you're in rooms with windows, you often look to the side when you talk to me, especially in our video chat one-on-ones.
What was that?
It's a really exciting... you did it. It's very clever.
For an audio podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Not an audio
so
feature.
So good at this audio podcast thing.
I know, exactly. Right, Cherie, I'm going to be an absolute knob and say, right, we're running really short on time. Surface Buds, good or bad?
The Surface Earbuds?
Yeah.
So far, pretty good. You know, Microsoft's first attempt at wireless earbuds. If they had come out last year like they were supposed to, I think people would be receive them better, like, because they've got premium features, but not well executed in some cases. There are things that I expect to see from premium, truly wireless buds, like auto pause, not there. Wireless charging, not there. I'm not too miffed about that. I am a little miffed about there's not a find your earbuds feature.
No.
Even though these things are so garishly unattractive, it's hard to lose track of them. They look like gauges that you would get from Hot Topic, but the corporate edition. So so far so good. Right now,
what's Hot Topic?
Hot Topic is this store in the U.S. that back in the 90s, and probably now, you get all your emo clothes. So if you needed to like get some ironic t-shirt, like gauges and like all this other kitschy emo gear, Hot Topic was and forever will be that place.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that's a nice succinct review, and you've done well to keep it under the time wanted. I'm still talking and wasting said time. Cherie, let's take a quick break, and then after that, we know where we're going to go.
Yay! Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. What are we hating on this week? I can't wait to learn. Unpopular opinions.
One of my headphones has just given up the ghost, so now I've got this really weird un-noise cancelled, because noise cancelling is what we're all about, situation, so I can only vaguely hear you guys in a granular way. Anyway, this is me this week. It's this idea that the smart home, it's still really disappointing, and this isn't actually anything to do with the first topic that we had at this beginning, where, you know, we were talking about things that we can make smart, although that is really relevant. But the point is, like, you know, iPhones are fine for, you know, controlling your HomeKit devices. You've got Android 11 bringing in the idea that you can have more control over smart homes in there. And they talk about things like smart home, like everybody has one. And if you're really, really careful and really sort of work on setting up and leave it, a smart home can work, right? Like, you can walk upstairs and shout, "Hey Siri, I'm home," and it will turn the lights on. You know, like, and you can say that and it will work. But then if you try to say move that plug to another place and it disconnects, or you try and move a light bulb to another room and you have to realign it, or you're trying to just, there's just no easy way of doing things. And like, I've been going to CES for so many years, and it's like 5 years ago, I was talking, you know, you talk to Ford and they're talking about how the smart home will know when you're nearly home and you can have a thermostat that does it. And it's all these ideas are really good in theory, but you turn around and go, well, they're not mainstream. It's not like, you know, like how Chromecast, for instance, is a thing that's nearly everywhere, and the Chromecast icon is on so many different things, and streaming stuff to your TV is like a natural thing, something that you realize that you can do and didn't know that you could. Like, you press the button and find, oh, my TV's Wi-Fi. I didn't realize. Cool. I can do this. And smart home's like the exact opposite of that at the moment. Like, everything should be enabled and should be to a specific standard, but we're currently with loads of different ones. Brands are still trying to bring out their own smart home standards, and it's just really confusing and annoying. And it's made Matt Phillips just hang up on this call, apparently.
Bye, Matt.
Oh, Lord. I just, like, the problem is everybody is still trying to make their own thing, and there's no, like, there needs to be a consortium of some sort. There probably is. I just don't know about it because I don't dabble in smart home like this, where it's like, okay, everybody's going to work off of this standard and we're going to play nice together. But everything being compatible does not pay the bills. Everyone having their own ecosystem and making you buy into it, that pays the bills, which is why we're in this current conundrum. Also, like, as much as I love tech, like, I, this is where I go into my inner paranoia, and this is how you get Skynet type of deal. Like, do we need all the smart home to talk to each other right now? Like, before we get all the bugs out? It makes me think of this old Dean Koontz book called Demon Seed that was made into a bad B movie. And it was basically about the, it was about smart home, but back before we even thought it was a thing. And this lady was working on, it was a government experiment. She was working on it with her husband. They divorced. She kept the smart house and they were working on this AI. The AI, unknowing to anyone, became sentient and fell, quote unquote, fell in love with this lady, beamed itself out of the lab into the smart house, kept her hostage, then hacked into a government thing, got this crazy serial killer dude, harvest some of his life juice, harvest some of her eggs, so and put it back in her to make her have
spoilers
him as a baby, so he can download his consciousness into this body and then make love to his mother. It was all Oedipal and just creepy and techy. It's a magical movie that I highly recommend. It's called Demon Seed. But this is how we get that, people. This right here.
Except for the fact that he made really good pasta. Right, we have reached the end of this noise cancelling podcast. So thanks everybody.
A little peek behind the curtain on that one as well. I disconnected from the podcast halfway through that and joined back in. I didn't know what was happening. It was terrifying.
I'm sorry, but everyone's face is just like, what?
We didn't even get a chance to talk about the new idea of what my dad thinks of the podcast. We're going to save that one for next week. But he's very excited to have his section, so we'll bring that up as it happens next week, giving his thoughts. Cherie, you can do your normal sign off. You know, if you can do it quickly, wonderful. If not, I understand.
You can find me on Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. That is on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, Read Laptop Mag for all your latest news and laptops, tablets, and everything that you connect to either or. Laptop now, laptop forever, and laptop in the future.
Matt Phillips, how do people get hold of you if they want to? Or do you not want them to?
You can find me at Matt P Video on all the social networks. Go to Tech Radar's YouTube channel and subscribe there, and tune to the podcast next week where we've got Vic, our gaming writer, and a special guest, I believe, reviewing Last of Us Part 2.
Pexy's excited.
Yeah, I'm going to listen next week. That sounds great. I'm at James RWP on Twitter.
You sounded so unenthusiastic. Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not on it. Thanks. Yeah.
I didn't mean it to sound like that, but apparently that's how I sound. Perfect podcast guest.
Please carry on. Sorry, I interrupted you. JWRP.
Sure, yeah, no, I'm just at JamesRWP on Twitter. There you go. Come to Tech Radar and read about phones.
Yeah, come to Tech Radar, read about phones, cameras, other things. I forgot what else we do.
Smart home.
Yeah, smart home cameras, laptops, buying guides of all descriptions, lots of gaming things, Bluetooth connected devices, everything you really want, and how-tos are galore as well. I am Super Beav on Twitter. Say hello to me if you would like to. Don't if you don't. And also, thank you very much for listening to Noise Cancelling Podcast. We do really appreciate your ears being close to this sound. Please find us on Apple Podcasts if you can, and give us a 5-star review. Listen to us on Spotify. You can't review us there, or just wherever you get your pods. And just to remind you, we are part of the Audio Boom Originals Network, where there are many other wonderful podcasts to listen to, including Live Science, Life's Little Mysteries. We're promoting that because we want to get one of those guys on our podcast, and hopefully let us be on theirs as well one day, perhaps. But thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We love to hear from you if you've got any thoughts, and we'll see from you next week, apparently. We'll see from you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.